I want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church today. And we are a church that is Christ-centered, Spirit-led, and servant-driven. To learn more about us, we want you to visit us on our website at www.bhbcstl.org. All of my sermons are there. We sell nothing in this church. I knew it'd get quiet. We don't have no online bookstore. We have online blessings. You ain't gonna see my face on some album cover. Just go and download the sermon. Download the sermon. Preach it, teach it. I don't care what you do with it. Just don't sell it. Gospel ain't for sale. The gospel, it was paid by the blood of Jesus. You ain't got to sell it. And you'll also find transcripts of messages. Take them, work them. They're not read only. Download it in word and let it bless you. Print it out and give it to people. Amen. And let them have it. The gospel was meant to be free. And we need to make it available to the world. That's why we want you to go to our website. Listen to the messages. We have pastors who have contacted us who are preaching those messages. We thank God, but we give him the glory. We want God's word to go forth at no charge to those who are in need to hear it. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. That's our website. Now, we're in a series entitled The Church Built Upon the Rock. We're living in an age, saints, where the church is under attack from within and without. The credibility of the church is being marred by scandal as pastors and preachers of every denomination fall prey to temptation and sin. You ain't got to look on TV to see who's the next preacher. Preachers falling all over the place, dropping like flies. Have mercy. Christian marriages are just as likely to fail as non-Christian marriages. Churches are so fragile that the least little storm will cause them to fall. But the church was not designed to fail. You need to understand that church was not designed to fail. It was designed to succeed. And it was designed to be a source of healing and hope for the lost. It was not designed to be an activity center. It was not designed to be a senior citizens club. It wasn't designed to be a soup kitchen. It was designed to be a source by which the living God can touch fallen humanity. And if we're going to be that church that God has designed us to be, we need to stand on the rock on which we've been built, and that rock is Jesus Christ. It is not money. It is not music. It is not the magnetic personalities of celebrities. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once we leave that, we go downward. Amen. And we become like any other institution. Join me as we read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell raises," let's throw that in there too, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Church built upon a rock. What does that kind of church look like? When you have a community in which there's a church on every corner, various stripes, if you will, denominationally, and various pastors and preachers and ministers who lead those churches, how can you know that when you set foot in a church building, that you are a part of a body of believers standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ? There are seven things you should look for, seven qualities that exist for a church built upon the rock. Number one, it is a born again church. It is a spirit-filled church. It is a giving church. It is an evangelistic church. It is a growing church. And it is a Bible church. Now, we have already covered the first three, the born-again church, the spirit-filled church, and the praying church. And you can go online and get that actual transcript of that message. But today I want to talk about the church on the rock being a giving church. We want to talk about what it means to be a giving church. Now listen, before you try to preach my sermon, I know that this is a delicate topic. Amen. For some saints. I know it's a delicate topic. I know a lot of saints, when they hear that we're talking about giving, they say to themselves, why did I come to church today? Well, I also am aware of the fact that abuse and scandal have done a lot to taint the role of giving in the Christian experience. I'm not blind. I realize that a lot of things have happened and a lot of Christians have become resentful over this issue of giving because of what they've heard, what they've read, or even what they may have experienced. However, as believers, we're still called to give our best. Just because Pastor, Reverend, Dr. So-and-so messed up with the money, that is not justification for you to be stingy with God. I heard amen over here. I just didn't hear it over there. So let me come over here. Just because the preacher messes with the money, it doesn't give you the right to say to God, I ain't giving nothing. That's not Christian. And that's not biblical. That's not scriptural. That is not sound theology. That's not orthodox. That's not the way a Christian walks into church. Food on the table, roof over their head, clothes on their back, and then don't want to give God a dollar because they heard about some other preacher, not they preacher, but they mad anyhow. That's not of God, saints. And some of us, we need to practice the kind of Christianity that is on the same level of intensity as we practiced when we was in sin. When you went to the liquor store and you got drunk, had a headache, you didn't stop going, you went back. You didn't cuss out the liquor store owner, you went back. Went to the casino and lost your money. You didn't cuss out the casino. You went on your job, made you some more money. And guess what you did with it? But let the church make one little mistake. I ain't never giving back to them. You ought to act like you was when you was a sinner when it comes to God's things. You never gave up going to the club when you, but now you're a Christian. Oh, they done messed with me. I ain't going back there. You ought to act like you used to act, but bring it into the context of your Christian experience. If you kept clubbing, no matter what, keep churching. Played the lotto for 20 years, and then you come to church, and the pastor say giving, and you're The church is not for freeloaders. It's for people who understand that the God we serve deserves all we can give. And a giving church is one in which believers understand and practice the following: the act of giving and the method of giving. The act of giving and the method of giving. Let's talk about the act of giving. For the believer, giving is an act of gratitude an act of sacrifice and an act of love. Allow me to repeat that. For the believer, giving is an act of gratitude, an act of sacrifice, and an act of love. The believer recognizes that giving is a way to show how grateful we are for the salvation we have received through Jesus Christ. Christians give because they understand that wealth is in the hands of God, but we don't give to be wealthy. Nor do we give with the promise of wealth. We give because of what God already did. We understand that our giving is our way of saying thanks to God. It is a tangible way in which we're saying, Lord, I don't want to just give you the praise of my lips, but I want to give you more than that, the praise of my substance and my treasure and my time, not just cable TV praise, but I want to give you real praise. And we praise him in our giving. It is an act of gratitude, and gratitude is praise. Hallelujah. Christians understand, or they should, that God gave his best when he sent his son Jesus into the world to die for their sins, and their goal is to reciprocate in some small way what God has already done. Hallelujah. Which leads to the next point. Giving is an act of sacrifice. Anyone who is truly born again realizes that their salvation came at a great price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Last year, I was in Italy, and I'll never forget the moment in which I came to a place and was looking at this particular old abandoned looking building. And there was a sign at the gate to the building that was written in Latin. And thank God for a Negro who knows a little bit of Latin. And so the group was there, and I interpreted or translated the sign. And when I translated it, the tears began to well in my eyes. It said, "We are the protectors of the cross of Jesus Christ." So I translated that, and I said, "What does that mean?" And the tour guide said, "Well, there are fragments of the cross housed in that building. And for 500 years, family after family have protected those fragments from anyone coming in and taking them." I said, "Well, I have to see them." They say, "You do, you'll be shot. You cannot go in." How much did Jesus pay for your salvation? How much did he give to set you free? That is the attitude that when you say, "How much do I give?" think about how much he gave. Not how much you got, how much he gave. Y'all not listening. Don't think how much you got, think how much he gave. I don't expect you to say amen today. When we talk about sacrifice, I want to talk to you a little bit, and let me just stand on my pastoral soapbox just for a few minutes and say this. A Christian who can come to church Sunday after Sunday and give nothing to the work of Christ. They can pay for their cable. They can go on vacation. They can splurge at the local mall. And if that Powerball gets high enough, they might even tip into that convenience store and give Mr. Powerball a few dollars, and yet not contribute to the gospel. Listen, they don't have a financial problem. They got a spiritual problem. If you can walk up and let's just say Blessed Hope, since we're here, Blessed Hope, and just walk out and do nothing, and you work every day, you don't have a financial problem. You got a spiritual problem. And allow me to continue just for a few more minutes and say this. If you're holding back on God to make your house note, your car note, or whatever other credit card bill that you have racked up on stuff that you don't even use no more, but you're paying for it because you can't give anything to the church, you need to be very careful. Because God has a way, and you've heard me say this before, Blessed Hope, of claiming his tithe. God will get his. You don't have to worry about God. I ain't giving. I'm going to just go ahead and mooch off the church. You cannot mooch off of God. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't mooch up in here. Well, I ain't giving it to Blessed Hope. You don't give it to somebody. Because you ain't going to spend it either. Because God's going to claim his tithe. God's going to claim what's his. Oh, Pastor, you just trying to scare us. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to understand that the God we serve, he demands our best. And he doesn't want Christians mooching off of him. Amen. Well, I ain't got nothing. Don't worry about that. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. You do have something, and I'm going to prove it to you. Well, it just seemed like you trying to get money out of us. I'm trying to get blessing to you. I'm trying to get blessing to you. Get money out of you. I'm trying to get blessing to you. And we must understand that if you play God cheap, he plays you cheap. You want to play him cheap? He'll play you cheap. Well, where's that in the Bible? He who soweth sparingly. How's that? You need a scripture. He who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who soweth abundantly shall reap the same. Listen to me. If you play him cheap, he will play you cheap. And that's the way it really is. There is no get over program on God. So you might as well write your check. When you get your check, he gets here. Y'all don't like this, do you? Okay, all right. Talking about a church built on the rock. Hallelujah. And I want to say something to those who think that going to church is all about shouting. Don't shout if you don't give. Not here. I mean, there's another church maybe you can go to. Please don't shout if you don't give. Pastor Tony says, come on, saints, get up on your feet and let's give God the praise. Sit down. And please don't jump over no seats. Don't be yelling and screaming and doing all that. Ah, oh, yo, yo. And you ain't getting nothing. But you going to come up here and sell tickets. I got, don't shout if you don't give, because you're insulting God. You're mocking him. You're despising him, saying he ain't worth nothing. But boy, I sure feel good with this house of folk. Let me just shout. Honey, you don't know who you messing with. I'm trying to help you. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. I'm here to help the people of God. We got to understand something, saints. Calvary cost God all that he had. And if you're a Christian and you're in leadership and you don't give, you should resign. Or go on leave and fix your giving problem. Just write me a note or an email. Pastor, I don't give. I resign. I'll accept your resignation. Because at some point, God will claim what is his. I'm just trying to help somebody. God will claim what is his. He'll claim it in your car repairs. He'll claim it in that layoff, that pink slip. He will claim it in that broken marriages. And he'll claim it in those dysfunctional kids of yours that you got to pay for rehab because you were too stingy. Give him anything. Get that lotto ticket out of your purse. I'm going to tithe it to the Lord. Not to this church you want. I don't want them winnings. You keep them. Huh? I said keep that. You can't buy God's favor. Do with what you have. Do right by God with what you have. Don't wait to win something. Let God use what you got. Hallelujah. Giving is also an act of love. Christians give because they love the Lord. There's no coercion, No manipulation, no claims of prosperity that leads a Christian to give. Before they were preaching prosperity, I was giving, honey. I don't need no more money in my pocket. I don't need God. Let me give so God will bless me abundantly. Honey, I'm blessed abundantly. What you mean you blessed? I'm above the ground and not below it. That's what abundant means to me. What does it mean to you? Well, I got bills. How many of them are self-inflicted? How much of a cell phone do you need? Change your calling plan. Got a cell phone that does everything except change your baby's diapers, paying all that money. Think about your life, your priorities, what matters to God. Amen. When you love the Lord, you give to what you love. When you love the Lord, you give to what you love. And love is not just a word, it's an act. It ain't about, oh man, I love the Lord, he heard my cry, but you ain't got nothing to show that you really love him other than you told me you love him. That don't mean nothing. Your mind can send a signal to your mouth to say anything you want it to say. But see, your mind has to send a signal to your heart to get into that checkbook. See, the mouth can, mouth can do whatever you want it to do. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to give. See, that signal, something happens to the brain. See, we can easily send a signal from the mind to the mouth that says, I thank you, Jesus. Now, let's talk about it's time for the offering. Something happens to the brain. It stops sending a signal. Or it sends the wrong signal. Oh, here they go again. Honey, it ain't no they. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Don't nobody at Blessed Hope know what you give except the treasure and Jesus and you. Pastor don't know. Pastor don't want to know. Amen. When your affections and motivations are centered around Christ, you give accordingly. I give accordingly. It's that simple. We don't need to ask God for anything because he already knows that we need it. You his child. He knows what you need before you even ask him. And there's not an amount that you can give to make him bless you. He chooses to bless you. He gonna bless you. He gonna bless you. And there's a lot of, can I preach for a couple more minutes? Listen. There's a lot of toxic messages coming out of the church that is keeping sinners at home. And it's about money. And one of my friends last night, who is not in church and won't be coming anytime soon after this conversation, said, I received an email from a saint who told me that it's time for God to start taking money from pagans like me and giving it to saints like them. That person who's a child of God did not say it's time for you to give your heart to Jesus. They didn't email him and say Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and he rose from the dead and he is waiting and he is inviting you to hear the gospel. They said God wants to take your money and give it to me. In Jesus' name. And I had to look at him and say, I apologize for the Christian faith. Because that is not what we teach. And he let me know. I understand that. But this is what is happening. So how do you invite that person to church when the saints are saying to the sinners, God said, give me your money because he wants to take it from you and give it to me. So when do we talk about Jesus? See how messed up money can make us when we don't understand the purpose of it and God's role in giving? It's not even about the money, it's about your attitude, which brings us to the method of giving. Method is not about quantity, method is about attitude. When we give, the Christian gives to God in a way that's different from any form of giving on the planet. Number one, we give our lives. We give our values. We give our dreams, our aspirations. That's what we give him first. We're called to give what's on the inside of us before we give what's on the outside. Before you write a check, before you open up your wallet, are you living right? Because you cannot go to God and say, well, at least I tithe. I might be out in the club. Honey, that ain't right. You can't don't play with God like that. Well, y'all got my tithe. I just can't be coming to church and, you know, and all that. Well, God has a way of getting you in church. Keep on playing. It's not about that. You give God this first. See, if the March of Dimes called you, just send your money order, your check too. But God, if he was sending you a donation letter, send your heart too. Send your life too. Jesus Christ. He's not asking you for money. He's asking you for you. He's asking you for you. Giving is not about just money. It's not about just treasure. It's not about the stuff that you got going on in the material sense. God wants you more than he wants your money. You need to understand that you are more valuable to God than your money. And it's time for the church to start teaching that you are more important than God. Your tears are more valuable than your tithe. And for that person who said, I ain't got nothing, do you have tears? He'll take them. I told you had something to give. Do you have a problem in your life? Yes, I'm broke. He'll take your brokenness. Told you had something to give. Do you have a disappointment in your life and you're frustrated and you're feeling defeated? Yes, Pastor, he'll take your discouragement. That's an offering to God. So if you don't have money, what do you have? Man, I just got a bunch of problems. He'll take it. He'll take it because he knows where you are and he'll meet you at the place of your need. But you don't have to walk out of here giving nothing. You can give something. And if you don't have a dollar, give them your tears. If you don't have any money, give them your problems. If you don't have anything of a material sense, give them what's going on the inside of you. He will take that. And he will make a way in your life. Book of Luke tells of a woman, let me quote that. That's also in Mark, by the way, of a woman who was a poor widow. She didn't have nothing but a penny. And there was Jesus standing, watching the folk go around, putting in the offering. And you had a bunch of rich folk. They threw in some money. And then this poor widow gave a penny. And Jesus, out of all those who gave, honored her. Although she gave less than anyone else. And this is why, as Jesus would put it, because she gave all she had. The others gave out of their substance. They looked at, you know, the 50 and the 5. And they went on ahead and gave them 5. I was once taught by a pastor by the name of Gerald Ford, and I'll never forget his words. He says, Pastor, if you got a giving issue in your church and people want to know how much they give, if they got a 50 and a 5 in their pocket, tell them to pray and ask God which one he wants. Don't tell them which one to give. Tell them to pray and ask God. Since they so quick to claim that the church is theirs and that they are a member, well then they're a member of the family of God. Tell them to pray. Which one you think God's going to choose? I said, that's a no-brainer. He would choose the 50. Why would he choose the 50, Pastor? Because he wants to get his gospel out. And 50 will get it out quicker than 5. Y'all didn't see it. I know y'all mad. I don't really care. I want to be real. But you need to understand, God is all about getting his word out. And whatever means he needs to use to do that, that's what God is about. God is not about all the little trivial things that we think we got going on. God is about getting out his word. But it takes a lot more faith to give him that 50 than that 5. See? Now, I can tell you what Beyonce would want. If she's selling tickets, oh, y'all don't like that, do you? You don't like when the pastor say Beyonce. And everybody know, your kids know her. Your kids know her. And when you get in the car and drive off the church, they'll have her in the iPod. She'll take the 50. Y'all not listening. But see, if you can give Beyonce the 50 and not the 5. if you can give lip gloss the 50 and not the 5, what you know about me? And my young people, if I ask them, give me some more names, they can kick y'all some more folks. What would they ask you for? The 50 or the 5? And more importantly, what would you give them? The 50. Well, if you can see the value of the hip hopper and of the Beyonce and of 50 Cent. 50 Cent, did I say that right? If you can see, if you can say, oh, well, he get 50, and God says, well, wait a minute. What am I? Is it wrong of me to ask you to treat me like Beyonce? Oh, y'all. After I saved you, after I made a way for you, after I'm building a mansion for you, streets paved with gold, and you telling me it is wrong for me to ask you to treat me like Beyonce. See, we got some attitudes, and I'm just pulling down strongholds today. I can sense it in my heart. I can see them coming down. We're pulling down strongholds in the minds of toxic thinking. Treat God like Beyonce then. Give him your best and not your worst and not your tips. You tip the waitress at Chili's and Culpepper's. You in church. The church built upon a rock understands that giving is an act of gratitude, sacrifice, and love. And the way we give, the method, is one of joy. Well, Pastor, how much should I give? You should give an amount that you can give with love and joy and hilariousness in your heart. Where you ain't going, I wish I didn't give so much. Then you shouldn't have gave that. Don't get that amount. You going home going, Pastor really got the money out of me. Don't do that. Give the amount that when you drive off the lot, you can go, you know, I really feel good. And I'm so glad I was able to do for God just a little bit of what God did for me. That's your amount right there. Ain't no greater, ain't no smaller. That amount when you say, ooh, I can give God this and I can feel good about it. I feel good about it. Hallelujah. We had total worship, just not in word and in song, but also in my giving. I feel good today. Amen. Hallelujah. I gave him the best I could give. I feel good about what we gave. You ain't got to worry about God. He'll be feeling good too. Because you gave it with the right spirit. You gave it with the right spirit. You weren't going, oh, I got to write this check. Don't write it. Don't write that one. Back to Beyonce. You weren't mad when you got your tickets either. But since you in church, I got to write this. You weren't mad when you gave the Fox your debit card. But you in church, oh, I got to. That's because you're playing them cheap. But God isn't cheap, is he? How many of you know he's everything? And isn't it good to know that it doesn't cost you anything for him to meet you at the place of your need? Give him praise right here. Everybody in the building. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with us. We want this word to work on you. Amen. Amen. We want this word to work in you. We want this word to work through you. We want this word not to fall on shallow soil, But we wanted to go into that good, fertile fruit of your soul and bless you. Nobody's here to try to connive or manipulate or coerce. God is here to bless, and I'm here to bless, to be that source of blessing to your life. But a church built on the rock understands and practices the act of giving and the method. It's not to be seen. It's not to have nothing named in your honor. It's all about you and Jesus. And right now, that's what we want to focus on. You and Jesus. And your commitment to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for paying a price we could not. Thank you, O Lord, even now for satisfying a debt that we owed, the debt of sin and shame and guilt. Lord, we recognize that as part of our relationship, we are called not just to receive blessings, but to give some as well. But Lord, there may be some today who have nothing to give in a material or financial sense. Let them know, Father, that they're not to be in any way guilty, but to simply give you what they have in their hearts and in their minds. And then, Lord, for those who have practiced and adopted a strategy of stinginess, help them to see that they are robbing themselves. They can't rob a God who made everything. They're cheating themselves. And then, Lord, for those who are giving and are struggling in their giving, encourage them, Father, with a token and a blessing to let them know they're on the right track and to not give up, even though the economy is rough, to trust you in this hour. And then, Father, we're asking for those today who need to give you their hearts, not just in word, but also, Lord, in spirit. Father, I ask that you would touch them right now and allow them to feel your holy conviction, that they might respond by submitting themselves to the word of God, which can only set them free. Now, Father, thank you for your word today. Let us all obey it. Let us all trust it. Let us all stand upon it. For in so doing, we will have true victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand praise, everybody in the building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.